You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
And welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth, thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. And those of you who are joining us for the very, very first time, welcome. We're glad you're here. I'm delighted you're here. And I hope you make a habit out of it and come back night after night after night. It's a good habit to get into, and a lot of folks have the habit. A quick update on our friend Dick Criswell. Dick Criswell, of course, my friend and a friend of this show, and a very important figure in the world of UFO investigation and research, has been recovering from really serious surgery, and finally he has now been not released from care, but he's been allowed to transfer to a nursing facility near his home in his town, Lebanon, Indiana. And so that's good news. He at least will be close to home for Christmas, and we wish him all the best and our prayers for his recovery and his quick return to his leadership role in the world of investigating UFOs. Tonight, I'm not going to get into this before the break, but I am going to address something that has nothing to do with UFOs or the paranormal. Some of you are going to say, "Oh, I thought you never talked about politics." That's because you have mud in your head and do not distinguish between what is political and what is civilizational and what has to do with the survival of the planet. Politics has to do with Republicans, Democrats, liberals, labor, all of that. It has to do with the inner workings of who we're going to select and what their little idiosyncrasies are based on their party affiliations. That's politics, all right? What I'm going to talk about, and I'm not going to do the whole show on this, but I am going to make a statement about it, is civilizational. And it truly has to do with whether or not life on this planet, human life on this planet, continues. It has to do with whether we are going to be civilized or barbarians. And I have to tell you that some of you, even understanding that, are not going to like what you hear. You would prefer, some of you, to believe that the world is a kumbaya world. You would prefer to believe that we can all just hold hands around the campfire and sing love songs to one another, and everything's going to be beautiful in its own way. And so whenever you hear me say that there are inferior civilizations, you're going to be upset. So I warn you now to turn off this show because that's precisely what I'm about to say. We'll be back. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. This show is heard and or viewed by people in 95 countries. Maybe more than that by now. It's been a while since I checked. Last time I checked, it was 95 countries. So this is truly an international show, truly an international audience. But I want to remind you of something very important. This show originates from Phoenix, Arizona, and that is in the United States of America. I am an American, and I am not ashamed to say it. I am proud to be an American. But I'm proud to be an American for some very specific reasons, not just because I was born here, but, I mean, that ought to be enough. But there are some very specific reasons why I am proud to be an American. Now, wherever you are and wherever you were born, you should be proud to be part of your country. If you're in the Netherlands, you should be proud that you're a citizen of the Netherlands. If you're in Norway, if you're in Germany, if you're in France, England, Australia, Thailand, wherever you happen to be, you should be proud of your country, and you should pick reasons to be proud of your country, good things that your country does, things your country does very well and that you're proud of, and that's the way it should be for people all over the planet. Having said that, some of what I'm going to say, you have to understand, is because I am an American, and I don't cater to, I don't kowtow to issues simply because the show is international. The President of the United States of America was in Iraq, and you all have seen on your television sets this guy that stood up in the press conference and started throwing his shoes at the president. Well, you might say George had it coming. Well, I want to explain something to you. That was not George. There is George Bush, and then there is the president of the United States of America. George Bush, the private man, the private citizen, all that happens after he leaves office. He returns to being a private citizen. But up until then, he is the president of the United States of America. And I understand some folks around the world will say, well, so what? That doesn't make him any better than anybody else. It's not about being better. It's about being elected. It's about the office to which he was elected. Some of you like George Bush, some of you hate George Bush, and some of you are in the middle. That's irrelevant. The president, whoever he may be, is the face of this nation to the world. And as being the face of this nation to the world is due respect and civility. Now, that doesn't mean you cannot speak out against his policies. You can, you should, if you disagree with them. Lord knows in this country, show after show, article after article, have gone public with opposition to George Bush, President of the United States of America, and his policies. If you don't like George Bush, you have every right to say you don't like him. You do not, under any circumstances, have the right to attack the president. You do have the right to say what you think. You do not have the right, I don't care who you are, and I don't care what part of this planet you may be drawing air in, you do not have the right to attack him. And it isn't just because he's the president of the United States. It's because he is the elected leader, the elected president of a country. There are elected leaders around this world that I have absolutely nothing but disdain for. But they are elected. I think most Americans would agree that they strongly dislike, distrust the president of Iran. My own personal opinion about the man is I think he's an evolutionary defect, DNA gone awry. But he is the elected president of Iran. And for whatever reason, those people decided that is who would best represent them, they elected him. And when he comes to the United States of America, as much as I dislike him, as much as I think he is a great threat to world peace, I do not think that it is right, and I do not support anyone attacking him physically, whether it's throwing shoes at him, or whether it's firing guns at him, or throwing anything else at him, any kind of physical attack. And I can tell you, as much as Americans do not like this individual, the American security forces would most likely neutralize anyone who attacked him while he's on American soil. American security forces would protect him, even though he wants them destroyed. They would protect him. And American people would not want him harmed while he's here in this country or anywhere else. There have been certain leaders elected by European countries that I thought were absolutely worthless. My opinion. I'm entitled to it. There have been some European leaders. I mean, you don't need to get smug and say, yeah, but, you know, over here in Europe, we never elect anyone like George. Look, George has good points. He's got bad points. Jacques Chirac had good points and he had bad points. My personal opinion is I've never seen anyone quite so cowardly and loud-mouthed about it. I personally did not like Jacques Chirac. I have a right to that. But I would never support anyone attacking Jacques Chirac while he's president or even now, but especially while he was the prime minister or president of a country. The Arab world has praised this attacker as being a hero. And you see, if you watch the video, what you're going to see in the video of that attack, you're going to see that the other journalists, also from that part of the world, jumped up and tried to subdue this man before the presidential security people got the man to the ground. They tried to stop him. They didn't have but just a second or two, but they tried. So this is not an indictment against the Iraqi people. This is one individual who did something. But the reason for my statement here tonight is this faux Muslim response And I say faux Muslim, it means fake Muslim, response, where they praise this guy as a hero. The people who are doing that are not real Muslims. At least in my opinion, because in my opinion, a real Muslim would actually take the Quran seriously. I've read the Quran just about as much as I've read the Bible, and it teaches respect, and it would not, under any circumstances, name this guy as a hero. So these people in the Arab world who are saying this guy is a hero, you are, in every definition of the word, you who are identifying this man as a hero, you are part of a mindset that is an inferior civilization. Because your civilization thrives on hatred. Your civilization thrives on oppression. Your civilization thrives on death. And that, by anybody's definition, is inferior. Now, I know I'm going to get a lot of hate mail, but the facts are the facts are the facts. We live in a world at a time when we have to decide whether we're going to survive or not. And ladies and gentlemen, we cannot survive as a race of people if we applaud attacks like this upon heads of state. Heads of state, no matter how nutty they may be or may seem to us, no matter how cowardly they may seem to us, no matter how corrupt they may seem to us, heads of state need to be afforded and accorded civility and protection so that diplomacy can work things out. Otherwise, we are doomed forever to war and eventually to our own annihilation. That's my soapbox. That's my two cents. I just want to add this. Some of you who are saying to yourself, well, it was okay because George is this and George is that. You're part of the civilization that I've just identified as inferior. George is not the issue. The president is the issue. All right, this is Open Line Live. That means we will talk about whatever you want to talk about. I will accept calls in response to what I just said in just a moment. You may agree with it. You may disagree with it. And the line is open for you. Whether you agree or disagree, or it will be open. It's not open yet. It will be open for you in just a moment. Scientists do some funny things sometimes. They're supposed to be all about discovery. Scientists are supposed to be all about looking for things we don't know, finding answers. Well, here's a case where they found an answer they didn't like and shut down the project. It's called the Gravity Probe B. And this was recently reported by New Scientist magazine that Gravity Probe B received a failing grade from the government and the project would receive no more funding. I find that more than curious, more than amazing. And here's why. Gravity Probe B was sent into a polar orbit. It's not orbiting the Earth like other satellites. It's going around the poles. And it's pretty simple experiment, really. I mean, it's high tech, but it's the concept's pretty simple. The idea was to build some really high-tech gyros and put it on this telescope in space, and then the gyros would pick up the motion of a relatively stable guide star that they would focus it on. The gyros would pick up the motion, the movement, relative to that guide star, and test Einstein's theory of relativity having to do with the fact that the Earth itself bends space and time. It warps space and time. So that's what it was all about. Well, what they found out was, they expected that it would prove that, but what they found out was that the data coming back was way off the charts. The data that was coming back showed that the sun is moving and taking us with it, is moving very rapidly and is moving in a curved pattern, and as if it were in an orbit around a twin star. In other words, the data says that we are in a binary system. And once that data came back, they said, well, you know what? This thing's not working, so we're not going to fund it anymore. So this project has actually only been functional for about 17 months. And in that 17 months, we've discovered that the data suggests that we are in a binary system and that the binary must be getting pretty close to us because we're accelerating. In other words, the twin star must be pretty close to us because we are accelerating. Now, the only other possibility is that the gyros are somehow malfunctioning. And that's a little bit hard to believe because of the fact that they spent 10 years designing, building, and testing these gyros, even putting them into space-like conditions, cooling them down to near absolute zero, which, by the way, is minus 273 degrees Fahrenheit. So these things for 10 years, it took 10 years to build them and test them. They have been tested. Everything was working just right. And there's no other indication of malfunction. It's just that the data doesn't match what they expected. And the data says we're in a binary system. All right, I'm going to open up the telephone lines. And, you may want to comment on what I had to say at the top of the show. Maybe you agree with me, maybe you disagree with me, either way, whether you agree or disagree, we want you to have the opportunity to comment on it. Also, I'd like for you to, anything that's on your mind, we want to open the lines and let you talk about it, all right? So anything that's on your mind, no politics, but anything that's on your mind that you would like to comment on, the line is open for you. And the telephone number, let me make sure it's working. It is. The telephone number is 602-539-9580. 602-539-9580. Also, I'd like to know what you think about this because, we do a lot of talking here on the show about Nibiru, and one of the things that we've talked about is that Nibiru is not a planet. It's actually, some people say, a brown dwarf, a star, but a brown dwarf. And the those folks usually think that the Anunnaki are real, spoken of by Zechariah Sitchin's translations of the Sumerian texts, and that they live on a planet that is orbiting this brown dwarf. Now, that could be. Back in 1983, NASA put up a satellite called the IRIS. The IRIS satellite, IRIS, it's an infrared satellite, And in 1983, the chief scientist on that project said, we don't know what it is, but we have found something out there. It's huge. We'll be back right after this break. Open line. Get your phones ready. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Now, the telephone lines are open. It is open line live. That means, being a talk show, you need to pick up your telephone and dial if you've got an opinion about anything spinning around this planet. I'm particularly interested in this thing about the binary star system, and I'd like to know what you think about that. Nibiru, is that... Is this proof of the existence of Nibiru? You know, I find it very interesting that as soon as the data started coming in and showing that there is, that we are in a binary star system. In other words, our sun is not just doing its own thing out there. Our sun is actually part of a binary star system according to the data. And as soon as that started coming in, the government said, okay, this isn't working. We're not going to fund it anymore. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. First name, and where are you calling from?
Hey, Kevin. It's Kevin in North Carolina.
Hi, Kevin in North Carolina.
I got to stay up a little late tonight. I was the one that sent you the link on that.
Oh, great. Yeah. Interesting stuff, huh?
Exactly. And my opinion is, from what I've heard from some notable scientist types that I've read, you know, what they had to say is that now that they've taken a good look at all the stars, you know, in general, it's more likely that a system is part of a binary star system than not.
That's so true. I think it's, what, 80% of the stars out there that we know about are in binary systems.
You know, I mean, they didn't like what, was it Pioneer 1 and 2, the ones that they shot way out, not Pioneer, Voyager, I guess, 1 and 2, that they've come out with evidence that would tend to suggest that the way the solar, I don't know, there's some kind of energy cloud that's around our entire solar system. It's very lopsided. Instead of it being symmetrical, I think they called it bullet-shaped. Which would tend to suggest the reason that is our binary twin is blowing the solar winds one way. That makes it lopsided. You know, there's just so much evidence, but it's ostriches with their head in the sand here. They don't want to hear it.
Do you suspect that this gets too close to proving the existence of Nibiru?
Honestly, Kevin, I think with these guys, it has nothing to do with Nibiru. It has to do with the idiocy of, you know, the Earth is flat, don't tell me different. You know, this is, they believe a certain thing, and that's all they want to hear. And to anyone that believes otherwise is stupid and ignorant, and you should listen to science, and we know better. It, same thing as trying to explain to them that there are holes in Darwin's theory. They just don't believe it.
Darwin's theory is a hole.
Well, I was being, you know, simple and polite about it. Yes, I'm not saying God didn't create us I'm not getting into the argument one way or the other on that. I'm simply saying that there's lots of evidence that if there is evolution, it's part of a greater sequence of events and that it doesn't happen slowly. It happens in jumps because there's some kind of intervention. And Darwin's theory just doesn't hold water with me.
Well, and it doesn't hold water with the fossil record either. There's not one out of all the billions of fossils that have now been collected, there is not one shred of evidence of any species ever crossing over into another species. There's no trans-species fossils.
Exactly. And you know, there is no missing link, despite what they claim. And the whole thing that got it started, Brown versus Board of Education, the supposed tooth that they brought up, you know, is the proof of evolution and all that, they later proved it was a pig's tooth.
And the pig's theory. It's just, you give credit where credit is due. Darwin at least tried to take a look at a process. He tried to figure out how did all this happen, and he wrote his opinions, which he did not even firmly believe, and said so. And it just took off and became a religion. It's not science; it's a religion.
But back to the binary star thing,
yeah.
I have to say that for me, as far as the one thing to pay attention to here is, what were they trying to do? They were trying to prove one of Einstein's theories.
Mm-hmm.
If you go back and study about Einstein, it was a theory that even Einstein himself didn't like and said, you know, was basically trying to disprove himself.
Yeah, he somehow detected there was some error in the theory.
He was basically saying, "This is all I got."
Yeah,
but I know this isn't really it. But did they listen to that? No, I think back in the 80s, I believe the idea that was it the New York Post, not the Post. I mean, one of the big New York papers posted the thing about what. Voyager had discovered, it got published one time, and then you never heard another word about it.
That was the Washington Post. And,
Washington.
Yeah. It was 1983, and it was the IRIS satellite, and the IRIS. And,
When asked about it, they said, oh, that malfunctioned. That wasn't true. Right.
Yeah. That's kind of like the Viking lander malfunction. You know?
Exactly.
Hey, man, I appreciate the call. Don't wait so long to call next time.
Just been busy. Had a lot going on. Thanks, Kev.
All right, thanks for the call.
Take care.
Bye. All right, folks. You know, now, see, some of you, you're new to this idea that you just heard me say that Darwin is dead, or you heard me say his whole theory is a whole. You're new to that, and your ears kind of went, well, what did he say? And you've been led to believe that this is established scientific fact. It is not. And I'm not arguing for the church theory of creation. I think that is in error as well, and have written a book about that explaining why. But... look, the whole big debate out there between creation and evolution is a straw man debate, because both theories will not hold water. The theory of evolution is not supported by the scientific data that they try to rest it on, and the theory, how can I say this? The theory of creation, as usually stated by churches, won't hold water because their document, the Bible, doesn't teach what they say it does. It doesn't say what they say it does. It does say something quite different, but it doesn't support their version of creation. And the whole thing with Darwin, Darwin is dead, ladies and gentlemen, not only physically, but the theory is dead on arrival. The telephone line is open, and the telephone number is 602-539-9580, 602-539-9580. I know that what I had to say at the beginning of the show about this civilizational issue probably set some of you alight. Some of you have been set afire by that, and you really would like to say something about it. Well, that telephone number will work for you as well as for those of you who think I was exactly right in what I said. And those of you who have been listening for quite some time know that I didn't say that in order to get someone to say I'm right. I don't care whether you think I'm right or whether you think I'm wrong. I stated my opinion. And open line, you get to state your opinion. Also, I think not only the comments that I made about civilization, but the comments that I have made, the report that I've given you about this gravity probe B, I think this is weighty stuff. We have a man by the name of Zachariah Sitchin. I think we're fortunate to have this man. When I say we have, I mean he is alive, he is living. I think we, the people of Earth, are fortunate to have this man. Because he has brought to us information that no one else ever did, and I think no one else ever would. The information comes from the clay tablets, thousands upon thousands of clay tablets left behind in the Sumerian civilization. And these clay tablets are written in what is called cuneiform, and he can read cuneiform. And he has translated these and has brought to us the information about the Sumerians' cosmology, their religion, the information they had about the solar system, information they could not possibly have had unless someone gave it to them. Now, if you're not familiar with that, I recommend you go read his books, and really I recommend you two of them especially, Genesis Revisited and The 12th Planet. The Sumerians knew about, and they drew depictions of, all the planets in our solar system, putting them in their right order and relative size. And that included going all the way out to one that we have just decided is not a planet, Pluto. They included that. And one of the things you got to ask yourself is, how did they know about Pluto? Now, they didn't call it Pluto, but they drew it. They knew about it. They put it in its right place and its right relative size in their drawings. How did they know? It could not be that they were just really good observers, because you can't see Pluto. On the clearest night in the history of the entire universe, you will never see Pluto. Not with the naked eye, not with the strongest binoculars ever made, not even with most telescopes. It takes really, really powerful telescopes to see Pluto, because it's so far away and it is so small. So it was not until 1930 that we officially discovered Pluto. And yet there are the Sumerians knowing about it. How did they know? Well, they said that they got that information from beings they called gods, a race of beings named the Anunnaki. That name in Sumerian means they who from heaven came down, according to Zachariah Sitchin. And not only did they say that the Anunnaki told them this, they told them about yet another planet that's out there. And we'll talk about that planet, and is that what has been detected by this project that's been shut down? We'll be back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. I have a caller online, and before we go to the caller, I forgot to do this. I want to thank Dewberry Jam Radio, which is AM 1670 in San Antonio, for sending me the coffee mug. Thank you much. I appreciate it. Now, caller, your first name, and from where are you calling?
Yeah, this is Trey, Louisiana.
Hi, Trey.
Hey, Kevin. About what you were talking about, that they couldn't have gotten this, or they say they got it, they were told this stuff, and that makes sense. And because, you know, we didn't find out this about Pluto, I believe, until we had to. Do we have to wait till we had the equipment to actually see it,
mm-hmm.
or did we figure discover Pluto before that?
It was discovered. The way it worked was, you had scientists who were saying, mathematically, there's got to be a planet out there. They were dealing with the ratios and you know, the gravitational pull of the planets that we knew, and they were saying, you know, there's something else. All of the mass of all the planets that we know about, it's not enough to counterbalance everything and keep it running. There's something else out there. And then there, you had other scientists that were saying, okay, you people that think there's another planet have been smoking wacky weed. They would laugh and ridicule it at the idea. And then at the Lowell Observatory, quite by accident, they saw, they'd been taking some photographs with the telescope and discovered a real hazy little smudge. And from photograph to photograph to photograph, it moved. And that's how they discovered Pluto.
Well, that's the photograph. So we had to have the equipment to actually prove it existed. They knew the gravitational forces and everything. There had to be something out there. My point is that it's amazing, because you think about it, the Sumerians were at least, you know, not like, quite like us. They were humble, and they said, "Look, they told us this stuff," you know. And mm-hmm. and it's funny, because I saw a documentary talking about the pyramids, and one of the ladies was from Egypt, and she said she found it insulting to think that Egyptians could not have built the pyramid. And
well, you just have to be insulted then, because the Egyptians...
Exactly, that's the whole point.
The Egyptians definitely did not build the Great Pyramid, because it predates the Egyptian civilization. It doesn't necessarily predate the Egyptian people, but they were not together in a civilization, you know, with cities and pharaohs and engineers and all of that. The Great Pyramid predates that period of time by several thousand years.
Yeah. And plus, I think the point is that, you know, most people aren't saying that Egyptians couldn't have built the pyramid. We're saying that humans couldn't have built the pyramid, you know.
Well, that's true.
That, you know, wherever the humans are from, you know, they couldn't have done it. So,
well,
you know,
we can't do it today.
Yeah, that's right. We can do it. Why don't you go and do it? I mean, you know, Edwin Leeskow is not coming back from the grave, so I don't think we're going to be building anything like that anytime soon.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. And as far as, let me say one thing, Kevin, about, I missed the first 40 minutes, so I don't know all of what. I know you mentioned about a binary star. I know that that Science magazine article we've looked up before that had the Planet X also had the brown dwarf in it, and that was in the 80s.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to find out that we've got another star, can I ask you to just tell me real fast, is there any new information? Do we have any new pictures of the brown dwarf? Or?
No, here's what we've got. We've got the Gravity Probe B satellite, which is in a polar orbit. It's going around the North and South Poles. It's not going around an equatorial orbit. Okay, it's going around the poles. And it was designed to test Einstein's theory of relativity as it relates to the idea that the Earth itself warps time and space. Okay? And instead of proving that, all the data that came back showed that the sun is moving in very rapidly, and it is accelerating. at the moment, and is moving in a curved path as if it is in orbit around another star. And so all the data is pointing to the fact that we are in a binary system. As soon as that data started coming back, the government said, that's it, no more funding.
Huh. Well, that's pretty neat to find out that our sun is actually in orbit around something. That's new. I've never heard that before.
Yeah, and one of the things, though, that is interesting is that about 80% of the stars that scientists have cataloged, and that's a whole bunch of them, but about 80% of them are in binary systems. So it's the majority system in the universe.
Well, then that sounds... But that sounds like it's not really that amazing, except for the fact that we found out that we didn't know it was the amazing part about it. And but one thing I want to say, Kevin, before I hang up, is about the guy throwing the shoe thing is, I can promise you, the guy who threw the shoe never had one of his daughters yanked out of their house in the middle of the night because one of Saddam's crazy sons was tanked up on too many 40-ounce bulls and took a liking to her, and because that happened a lot. And obviously, the gentleman never had that happen to him because he would have been throwing kisses instead of his shoe. Anyway,
well,
that's all I got.
Let me make this comment, and then I'll let you go. Him doing that is, of course, appalling. He should not do it. He was allegedly a journalist, a cameraman, and he shouldn't do that. But that's not the real big issue. The real big issue is the influential voices around the Arab world who are calling him a hero for doing it. That indicates there is a civilizational divide which cannot be breached. Those voices, it's not that there's a civilization divide between the West and the Arab world, but between civilization and a culture that thinks it's okay to attack a head of state. There's a divide there that cannot be breached, and if they're allowed to prosper and win, there will be no one left on the planet.
You know, Kevin, and that's true, and it's about socially evolving and true tolerance. And it's just a shame that, and I think it also goes to the fact that, you know, a lot of us, we don't think about something until it happens to us. And so, you know, if I'm some Middle Eastern living in another country, and, you know, I don't have to worry about these things that people did in Iraq as far as, you know, all the horrors. Well, then, you know, I might be anti-American enough to say, well, hey, Saddam was better. So, you know, it's just I think a lot of it, you know, you don't put yourself in and you put yourself in someone else's shoes and you go through the experience. Then all of a sudden you're like, hey, you know, whoa, wait a minute. You have a different perspective on something.
Yeah, but their perspective and their culture is a culture of death and hatred. And I think this ought to be a wake-up call, not the shoes. I mean, look, we had John Hinckley that shot President Reagan, and he was one of us, okay? That's not the issue. The issue, I mean, that's bad, but that's not the issue. The issue is when you have influential leaders around the world saying this guy was a hero. If that's the case, why don't we just bring all our money home, and why don't we just make a law that not one more drop of American blood is going to help anybody else be free?
Well, whenever you mentioned that the guy was a journalist, which I didn't know, it makes total and complete sense. Total and complete sense.
All right. Trey, thanks for the call.
All right.
I take it that Trey does not like journalists. Well, in a way, that's part of what I do. Not all journalists are idiots, but a great many of them are. That's fact. What do you think about this binary star system? What do you think about that? You may be kind of scratching your head and saying, what is there to think about it? Who cares? Well, here's what there is to think about it. What there is to think about it is this data may prove that what Sitchin has been saying is correct. Now, you have to understand, these are not Sitchin's theories. Not entirely, okay? I mean, I'm sure there's, you know, there's some of Sitchin in what he writes. That would be normal. That would be natural. But this is taken from his reading of the Sumerian texts. Now, if you don't know who the Sumerians were, the Sumerians, S-U-M-E-R, Sumer, Sumerians, were people that lived about 5,000 B.C. They are the first city-dwelling civilization we know anything about. We'll talk about it more when we come back. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. It's Open Line Live, and that means we'll be more than happy to take your calls. And let's go to the telephone line. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Good evening, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
How we doing?
Good.
What's got me concerned is, whether it's in the Bureau or whatever, but there is a lot of strange things going on with our weather and other planets. We're gearing up for something because we're making a seed vault for some reason. We have, 130-some underground bases that they built that telescope at, South or North Pole?
The South Pole.
I think there's something that's up, and with all this other stuff, two plus two, equals four. It's just not one thing; it's several things, together. Which, has to make your eyebrows raise up.
Does all of it together frighten you?
I suppose I won't be frightened until the crap hits the fan, I should say. I am kind of, pretty much convinced that they're looking for something to happen.
What do you think it is?
If it's the Bureau, and it's going to come in between Mars or in through the asteroid belt, it's bound to dislodge asteroids, which will go wherever, probably even, hit us. Besides the gravitational pull, which we're already, teetering, and we're losing our magnetism a shift there,
Well, Terry, let me ask you a question now. Did you hear the show that I did, a couple of weeks ago, I guess now, where I talked about North Magnetic Pole?
Yep.
In 2005, the North Magnetic Pole was wandering, and it's been wandering forever. It moves. But it was moving at 10 kilometers per year. Okay? It's now moving at 41 kilometers per year. So it's accelerating.
Yeah.
What do you think's up with that?
Well, we're obviously, it's been proven geologically through rocks. They could tell, I don't know what matter inside rocks, but they can tell which way the magnetic pole was, and it's been proven that it's been in the opposite direction that it is right now.
There have been magnetic pole reversals several times in Earth's history that they can document. So do you think that's what's going on, that it's beginning to happen?
I think that's been ongoing for quite a while. That's not really the scary thing. I don't really think that's going to, cause us, great harm or upheaval. But a total rotation of the planet shift, could destroy, basically everything.
Well, yeah, it could. And I'll tell you, I hope that it does not happen. But they say we are overdue for a pole reversal. The geologists that study that say that we are overdue for a pole reversal. And so I guess it could happen at any minute. It may be happening now. Maybe it happens in a matter of hours. Maybe it happens over a matter of years. I don't know. I've never lived through one. But something is up with the magnetic North Pole. Its movement is accelerating. It's moving four times faster now than it was 3 years ago. So I think that's significant. Terry, thanks for the call, man.
Sure.
All right. Sure. The telephone number, ladies and gentlemen, is 602-539-9580. 602-539-9580. And the telephone line is open for you. It's open line live. That means we would love to hear whatever is on your mind. All right, let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller. All right, let's take this call. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. Doug up here in Canada. How are you this evening?
Outstanding, Doug. How are you?
Not bad, not bad. Kevin, what is this binary star? Have you got a link to that? I'm on my computer here trying to find something on that there.
No. This was sent to me by one of our listeners. I printed it out, and I did not print the link. But I don't know what it is.
Okay, it's very interesting. I've read Jason Q. Rand's work and also Marshall Mathers, and I have his audio CDs on 2012, Survival and Beyond, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, of course, listening to your shows, interviewing Marshall Mathers. And I think you've had Jason Rand on, haven't you?
That's correct.
Yeah, yeah. Notice that everybody always talks about the North Pole moving, but nobody ever mentions where the South Pole is located at, really. Like, does that really not matter to anybody?
Yeah, I talked about that a little bit in the show that I did about the seismic events that took place at the magnetic North Pole.
Right.
The magnetic North Pole has, if you shoot an azimuth, that means directly behind you, if you're pointed right at the magnetic North Pole, straight line through the Earth, will give you the magnetic South Pole. However, it misses the geographical North and South Pole by 327.3 miles. So it's the magnetic North is not situated where the geographical North Pole is.
No, it's off by quite a few degrees. As a matter of fact, as you're saying, it is moving at quite a substantial speed nowadays. like miles per year, as you were saying. Yeah, it's supposed to be down into the Middle East, apparently. I thought when it comes time to the, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I believe that the flipping of the poles has largely to do with the cold water mass buildup in the ocean. And it triggers an off-balance magnetic kind of effect, and that's what reverses the planet. I believe I read that on a scientific journal somewhere. Correct me.
Yeah, I really don't know. I've heard theories about what causes it, and is it an actual geographical flipping of the Earth, or does the crust simply slide around the core, or does the Is it just that the poles reverse themselves so that what is south becomes north, north becomes south?
Well,
there's a lot of theories about what does it mean and how does it happen, but they will have to remain theories until it happens because no one now living has ever seen it happen.
That's correct. Going to the Golden Bible, though, the Egyptian accounts of what took place back in the days of Moses, it does clearly indicate that something was going on up there, and it wasn't a god. That's what they were saying, basically. There was something else going on. It was called the Destroyer. They even called it that, right?
That's correct.
That's right. So, it's going to be fascinating when this thing shows up. They're calling for this thing to show up there, I believe, in 2010 in the springtime. You should be able to see it with the visible eye. However, the amateur astronomer with the right equipment should be able to see it in the southern horizon now, 2008. But I haven't heard anything. I've seen a brief picture taken. I can't remember exactly where it was taken. I think it was Antarctica, and it was of the sun. And you could also see three frames of another brilliantly lit star descending even faster than the sun was. And that person had claimed that was the planet X or Nibiru or whatever you want to call it. So I guess.
Yeah, I've seen that. I don't know what I think about that. It's one of those things where you raise your eyebrow and say,
Yeah, exactly. So, hey, it's going to be interesting, and if it is true, I hope a lot of people are taking on to this and preparing themselves because it's going to be a rocky ride. If we go with the accounts of most ancient texts, it seems to be a period of 7 years of real rough time, right? That's like
7 years, huh?
Seven years of of severe climate changes that hardly anybody's going to survive. There's going to be periods of years leading up to that, and that's what we're in right now. But there's going to be 7 years that are going to be so devastating that if people aren't prepared, man, you might as well just kiss your behind goodbye and listen to everybody talk about it and go with the rest of them, I guess. But the years following that, according to what Jason Rand, I guess he said, it's going to slowly mankind's going to reintegrate back into some kind of society. But that kind of understandably is described.
Well, how would someone get prepared for something that we've never experienced? And how could you prepare for something like our binary passage of our twin star with its planets?
Yeah, I don't have an answer how you could prepare yourself for something we've never experienced, except for the fact that if you don't know how to even exist off the land itself and survive with the bare nitty-gritty necessities, you're done.
Well, I certainly would agree with that. People that don't know how to grow their own food, they're going to be in trouble. But I'll tell you something. Even people that know how to grow their own food and are doing it may find themselves in trouble if they don't know how to identify things in the wild that they can eat.
This is true. And also another thing is if you're not ready to stand up and protect yourself, you're in trouble too. Because there's going to be a lot of desperate people out there.
You think? What do you think will happen? Where are you located? What city?
I live up in the country, up north in Ontario, Canada.
Okay. What's the nearest city to you?
I guess the major city would be Toronto.
What do you think is likely to happen in Toronto And how big is that? How many million people live there?
We're just under 4 million in Toronto there, and I'll tell you right now, it's a madhouse there now as it is.
Okay, now, if the electric grid goes down, transportation becomes impossible so that you can't truck food in, and the railways are mangled and you can't bring food in on the railways. No electricity, no lights. That means that many people will have no way to cook, but that doesn't matter because there won't be anything to cook. What's going to happen in Toronto?
Well, they're all going to head north. Everybody in the United States is going to head north.
Why do you think we'll head north? Why wouldn't we head south?
Well, because Canada is not really a developed country. There is so much forest and crown land up here that if you want to escape and in any way to protect yourself from people who are going to be driven half mad with starvation and survival, your best bet is to get as far up north as you can. Now, you're going to have to learn, in my opinion, mankind's going to have to learn how to migrate with the weather again. You know, so, like, you can only go up there for so long. Everybody's going to have to start going back south when it gets too cold up there. Because I tell you right now, where I'm at, it's cold.
How cold is it today?
Minus 20.
Minus 20. Now, is that Celsius or Fahrenheit?
Celsius.
All right, minus 20 Celsius would be about minus 8 Fahrenheit, right?
I'm not quite sure on the conversion. I'll take the word for it.
I think that's about right. And I got to tell you, I've been in minus 20 and even colder. And you're right. It is miserably cold. And I'll tell you something that is really, really good if people are smart enough to do this, and that is learn how to distill alcohol. I don't mean for drinking. I'm not talking about a beverage. You can make alcohol from a lot of things that you would not be able to drink. It would kill you.
That's right. No.
But making alcohol, because alcohol can be, if it's strong enough, you can pour it in a pan and put a spark to it, and it will provide a flame. And you can use that for a little bit of heat and for cooking.
That's right. You can also rub it on your skin, and it shrinks the corpuscles of your of the skin, so that you don't sweat as much, making your clothing wet, which will contribute to obviously getting chills if you're out in the cold for too long and haven't got a place to go dry off.
That's true, absolutely true. Doug, thanks for the call, man. Fantastic call. I'm sorry?
I agree with you 100%. That was absolutely disgusting what took place to President Bush. He represents the country. Unfortunately, people have their differences of opinions, but to express yourself in such a low manner to a man of such great importance is absolutely terrible, in my opinion.
Well, it's uncivilized, but the thing that disturbs me most, Doug, is the influential Arab voices across the Arab world that are calling this guy a hero. And what my point is, that drops them into a sub, in my opinion, that means that they are part of a inferior subculture. And it's a culture of chaos and death, and it is a cancer upon the earth. And if it's allowed to spread and allowed to win, we're finished. As a race.
What I say, bring everybody home and let's put the walls up around our countries and just live for ourselves for a spell. And let's see how they manage in their own little world.
Well, I certainly think we ought to bring the money home and the blood.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Kevin, great talking to you.
All right. Thanks for the call.
I'll be in touch.
All right, folks. The telephone number is 602-539-9580. 602-539-9580. You may agree with things that we say here. You may disagree. It's open line. Maybe we should call it open mind line. because it's okay to disagree. Now, I wonder why that rang. That's not supposed to do that. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Brent from Wyoming.
Hi, Brent.
Just fine. Can you hear me this time?
I can hear you.
Yeah, last time you couldn't hear me.
Oh, what's on your mind?
I was just going to say that the thing with the polar orbital satellite, the one with the measurements.
Yeah.
That is an example of political science.
Political science? It's certainly an example of science being impacted by politics, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I mean, political mm-hmm. science. It's not a study of politics. It's a science being influenced by politics.
Well, as soon as the data started indicating that we are part of a binary system, the funding was yanked.
Yeah, that's
the government took the funding.
I want to hear it.
Yeah. Which, again, you know, you've heard me talk about this, Brent. The silence is screaming.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you not want us to know we're part of a binary system when 80% of the stars we've looked at are? So what is it about us being part of a binary system that you don't want us to know that?
They like to think we're the center of the universe.
Well, maybe, or maybe it's they know there's something incoming and this proves what it is.
Yeah, it's possible.
Yeah.
Well, that was all I wanted to say.
Thanks for the call.
Yep, mine.
All right, folks, 602-539-9580, 602-539-9580 is the number to call. And for whatever reason, we're now getting that sound of a ringing telephone. We haven't been getting that. The system has gone nuts. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Bob from California.
Hi, Bob.
Interesting show, lots of different things going on.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting boot at the president, that's off the wall ridiculous. I was just curious what you thought as far as with the way the Earth works. Do you think it requires an actually really tuned balance not to drift off nature to the point where it ends up killing us through disease, infections, and different things like that? In other words, is it possible the way everything that we do with human waste and the population increasing, there's really no way to stop a complete epidemic? Because I'm just wondering if you're viewing it the same way in regards to the fact that if we don't stop our own population and our own problems, the Earth will, and it could do it pretty much immediately when it starts wanting to. And I know that they say that the theory of Darwin is dead. And for an all assuming theory, of course it is, but when it comes to killing us, Darwin's theory is going to be one of the main things, I would assume, because of microbacterial genetics as far as the way that they mutate and different things like that. I'm just wondering if you estimate that maybe in prehistoric times and stuff, every once in a while you'd have some kind of a disease, but now if you think it's just like a big cesspool of mutating viruses and genes and stuff that the world's getting ready to attack us with because it's not our world at all and it's its world. What do you think about those kind of things?
All right. Excellent thought. We are just seconds from a break. I'll answer that when we come back from the break. Okay, Bob?
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for the call. Yeah. What about that? Is it possible that the Earth can rebel against us? And end up wiping us out? And has that happened before? I think there is evidence that it has, but I'll talk about that in some detail when we come back. It's Open Line Live, and we'll be back right after this break. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show and to Open Line Live. We're taking your calls on any topic you wish to talk about. I brought to the table two topics. One of them is decidedly not paranormal. It is not UFOs, and yet it's not politics. I think, you know, the event of the guy throwing the shoes at the president is not funny. But what is even more serious, and we need to pay attention to it, is the fact that there are influential voices around the Arab world who are saying this guy is a hero for doing what he did. We need to pay attention to that. That is serious and ominous. The question was asked before the break. Bob out in California called in, and he asked the question about is it possible that the Earth may rebel against us? And that's I'm characterizing it. I think this is what the question was, that the Earth may rebel against us and fight back and end up killing us as a result of things we are doing to the Earth. Absolutely. Absolutely. If you pollute your environment around you, your quality of life goes down. If you pollute it enough, your life goes down. Because the pollution contains things that are toxic to you and will kill you. Now, we're not just talking about, exhaust from automobiles. We're not just talking about chemicals that we create and dump. We're talking about everything we do creates some type of pollution. But now that's true of every form of animal life. Every form of animal life creates some type of pollution. I mean, do you not understand that fish urinate in the water, thus polluting the lakes and the seas? Do you not understand that all of the mammal species on the planet create and expel methane? Now, look, the point is that pollution is what we do. Pollution is part of the biological process. When you overload the process, though, and you give the system more pollution than it is capable of processing and neutralizing, then you've got a problem. And the problem is that what you've created around you is enough to kill you. So, yes, that's true. Now, I want to clarify something about having said Darwin is dead. Darwin is dead. Darwin as a theory is dead on arrival. Because it is not supported by the billions of fossils that have been found. Does that mean that evolution as a theory is dead? Well, no. But Darwin's version of it is dead. Darwinian evolution is fiction. Absolute fiction. It's not science. Well, I will try to find out why all of a sudden we're getting that ring. We're not supposed to be getting that ringtone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from? Hello, caller.
That was me.
You're live on the air. Your first name and where are you calling from?
Yeah, my name's John. I'm calling from the Poconos.
From the Poconos. John, reach around behind you there and turn me off.
Yeah, I just turned you off.
There you go. Now you can hear me on the phone. You don't have to wait for that delay that you get. All right, what's on your mind, John?
I was listening. I just tuned in, and I was listening to the concepts on the pole shift versus the magnetic shift. and the potential dilemmas. And I agree that the magnetic one's not as severe as the pole shift one, unless it diminishes and weakens, which apparently it does.
Okay.
Our magnets and motors that run on magnetism, they run north, south, east, west, all over the country. It doesn't matter which way. It's pointing. But the fact that it diminishes in strength makes a big difference. But when you were talking about the pole shifting, it talks about, you are asking a question whether it happened in a couple hours or in a couple of weeks. Did you give consideration to the thought that it could coincide with the rotation of the Earth, so that when it flips, the same continents are facing the sun, so that it would appear that the sun stood still in the sky, like it says in all these historical texts. And then the sun would be, of course, going across the sky in the other direction.
I had not considered that, but it makes sense that it could be. It certainly makes sense. It could happen. You know, if the Earth flips over, if it turns over pole to pole, then you would have the and if it does it at a rate that is coincidental to the rotation of the Earth,
right? Well,
then you would have the sun essentially staying in your sky for 24 hours.
Right, or well, however long it takes. You could go from twilight to full day. I mean, it could be an extended day.
Yeah.
It was just food for thought and to consider that situation.
Man, I appreciate that. Are you a first-time caller?
Yes, I am.
Well, let's get you some applause going here. We're absolutely delighted that you called in, man. I hope you'll call again.
Oh, I'll do that, and keep up the good work.
Thanks. All right. We want you to call. I cannot right now, while the show is live, work on the phone system and discover why it is doing that ringing. So we'll hear it ring. I had all that disabled so that it only flashes a signal to me on the screen. But right now it's ringing. So when you call in, we'll hear it. The telephone number is 602-539-9580, 602-539-9580. And it's open line. We'll talk about any topic that is important to you. You want us to talk about it, want to discuss it, want to bring it up, call that number, 602-539-9580. It may be that you are not in the United States, you are not in Canada, but you would like to be part of the show. Well, you can send us a flash message. If you are outside of the United States and you're outside of Canada, then send me a flash message. And how do you do that? Well, you do that by going to kevinsmithshow.com and scroll down, and you will see a link that says flash message. All right, it looks like we've got some flash messages, and here is one from Iraq, from Ahmed, and it says, "You will die, you pig scum. How dare you talk about our beloved country like that? Keep your mouth shut, pig." Oh, thank you, Ahmed. And tonight, when you lay down to go to sleep, any guarantee that you have that you may wake up in the morning was purchased with American blood. You remember that. All right, Australia, Andrew. Whilst on the topic of ancient civilizations and astronomy, let's not forget about the Dogon from Africa, who claimed Sirius was a three-star system, which was confirmed in the 1950s. I think with the discovery of Sirius C, so considering the Dogon didn't have telescopes, I believe that the visitors they claim that came from the Sirius system might therefore be true and shared this information with them. That's a good point. That's an excellent point. And the Dogon are, they also, like the Sumerians, they have amazing information. There is no way they could have on their own. They didn't have, we didn't even know that Sirius was a three-star system, as he says, until the 1950s. But it is a three-star system. And how did the Dogon know? This goes back centuries and centuries and centuries. How did the Dogon know? Well, there's no way they could know unless what they said was true, which is visitors from out there came here and told them. All right, let's take a look at this one. My daughter was listening while I was cleaning up, said a caller asked about binary stars, and you did not have the link. Send them here. Okay, here it is, folks. www.binarysearchinstitute, all one word, binarysearchinstitute.org. And the article is the second article on the page. That's the one that I was reading from and referring to, the article where I talked about the satellite funding being yanked. All right, if you wish to participate in the show, you have a question or a comment, but you're not in the United States and you're not in Canada, you can send me a flash message, and I'll read it as I did here on the air, and we'll comment on it. Now, I want to go back to what ArcMed said. By the way, if you are inside of the United States or you are in Canada, then you can call the number, and the number is 602-539-9580. All right, I want to go back to this flash message that I got from allegedly from somebody in Iraq. And it says, how dare you talk about our beloved country like that? Well, look, I didn't say anything bad about Iraq, did I? What I said was that, in fact, there were other journalists from the same country that tried to stop this guy. And that, you know, this doesn't reflect the way most Iraqis behave. But people who think this guy was a hero, you're not subhuman, but you are part of a sub-culture, a very inferior culture, if you think that that kind of behavior makes this guy a hero. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, this is Rod from North Carolina.
How are you doing?
Doing pretty good.
Good.
I'm fairly new to your show, and I do have to say that you have quite a good show here.
Well, we're into a break. It just took over. Can you hang on during the break?
Sure.
All right, hang on. We'll get right back to you, Rod. Folks, we'll be back after this. We'll be right back.
get it all. Become a member at kevinsmithshow.com.
Call the Kevin Smith Show at area code 602-539-9580.
Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're on final approach here, and that means we just have a few minutes left. On the line with me is Rod from which Carolina?
North Carolina.
North Carolina. Are you a first-time caller, Rod?
Yes, sir, I am.
Well, let's give you some applause here. We're glad to have you. What's on your mind?
Well, speaking of the binary star, I wonder if many people have thought about Arthur C. Clarke's 2001 A Space Odyssey. If you'll remember that story at the end, there was a... I think it was a planet that actually became an additional sun. But from what I understand, Arthur Clarke ran away from NASA because back in the early 70s, I believe it was, he proposed that there was water as well as life on Mars. And it appears that NASA's had to back up and apologize for Colin McCook.
NASA's going to have to apologize to lots of people that they have ridiculed and run out of the scientific world. You know, they would say, oh, we didn't do that. Oh, yeah, they did. People from NASA have been really harsh. Not all of them, but some of them have been really harsh on people like Arthur C. Clarke. And I have to say, that's a story about him I did not know. But they have written some pretty harsh stuff and said some pretty harsh stuff and have denied facts that were in play. I love playing this one. I want you to hear this. And if you just started listening to the show, you probably have not heard this one on the show before. This is the chief biologist of the Viking lander back in 1976.
What we have found, in fact, is something like 15 times as much oxygen in that atmosphere as we can account for from known sources.
15 times more oxygen on Mars than they can account for. So when they say that Mars' atmosphere is made up of 1% oxygen, what's 15 times 1? 15.
Well, you know, we only process 16% of the oxygen that enters our lungs.
And we can live in an atmosphere of 15%. It's like living up on the mountain. So, you know, the NASA's got a lot of things they got to get straight. And, you know, I do not assign nefarious evil intention to NASA. Some people do. Nevertheless, they have ruined some people's careers because those people were credentialed scientists who looked beyond the status quo and said, "Hey, what about this?" And you know, they're going to have some of that to answer for.
Yeah, it doesn't appear to be too far down the road for us either.
Well, let me ask you this now. What do you think about this pole shift possibility? You worried about that?
Well, one thing that people aren't aware of is there's a phenomenon that occurs in the South Pole referred to as the katabatic winds. These things are sub-zero 200 to 300 mile an hour storms. Just imagine the trouble that we have with our current infrastructure whenever we have a class 2 or a class 3 hurricane. So that's also something to think about.
So you think we might experience these 300 mile an hour winds across, say, across America?
It could very well be if there's a pole shift and if that phenomenon does occur in the Arctic as well as the Antarctic. So it's definitely something to think about before you build that next home above ground.
Yeah, the only way you could possibly survive winds like that would be to go underground.
Yes, sir. And if temperatures that cold, you would need to have your own little portable ark, so to speak.
Yeah. All right, man. Hey, I appreciate the call. How long have you been listening to the show?
A couple weeks now, and I must say I thoroughly enjoy it. I like your subject matter, and I talked to one a couple weeks ago about the UFOs in Texas, I believe it was.
Yeah, in Stephenville.
And Stephenville.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty phenomenal. I actually was a witness to something similar in the mid '90s. Here in North Carolina, my wife and myself both got to see it, but very few believers. And I was sort of excited whenever I heard about this one because the size and the shape, as well as the dimensions, were similar to what I saw.
Is there any possibility that what you saw was military flares being dropped by planes on exercise?
No, sir. This object was the size of a city, and I got a good minute and a half view of it. It actually crossed over the property where I live, which is we're about 40 miles northeast of Charlotte, North Carolina, but we're out in the country, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But another little side note: I had a cousin that was a Vietnam era vet, and shortly after he came home, he had a similar experience that lo and behold, come to find out, it was only about 2 miles from where I currently live. So I've had to get together with him and compare a few notes, but I know what I saw that day, and nobody will ever be able to convince me otherwise.
Good for you. Hey, listen, I appreciate the call, and like I said, I hope you'll call in again. Make a habit out of it.
Okay, look, thanks a lot, and God bless.
All right, thank you. All right, fantastic. Yeah, it's, to say the least, we live in very interesting times, and that would be, as I said, saying the least. We live in times that if they actually reported the news every day as it actually happens instead of, you know, doctoring it up to meet some kind of status quo, homogenizing it to take all the flavor out of it, just report it like it happens. If they did that, it would read like a science fiction movie script. We have really interesting things happening all around us, all over the place. And you think about down in Mexico, even recently, they videotaped down in Mexico a fleet of hundreds of UFOs flying over Mexico City. Hundreds of them. All at the same time. Then there are, what's interesting about that, the flip side, is that then you have these people that come along, didn't see it, haven't really considered the evidence. They maybe saw a video, but that's it. And they say, well, that can be photoshopped. And they haven't considered the evidence of like hundreds of witnesses that give their account of what they saw. Hundreds of witnesses. Who can believe witnesses, right? And yet, we go to court and we put witnesses on the witness stand and we make them swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And on the basis of their testimonies, often with no forensic evidence, people get sentenced to death. Interesting times. My friends call me Steel Eye, my enemies do too. You can call me whatever you'd like to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.